In continuous coverage of the long-range facilities plan that's been in the works for the city of Milford schools for, honestly, more than, I want to say, 2 years at this point, we had a big update this week. We now know the two elementary schools that will eventually, and that's a very key word there, eventually be eliminated as the district consolidates from 8 elementary schools to 6. And again, this is part of a long-range process that has been going on. And thank you to Dr. Anna Kutaye, the superintendent of schools, who has continued to make the time to be on the show, keep us up to date, have these conversations. She joins us back literally less than a week after she was just on to give us the update on the middle schools and high schools in this plan. Dr. Kutaye, welcome back, and thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you, Melissa. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us on, me on. Happy to explain a little bit further and answer any questions you might have about the consolidation. So you're right. We're going from 8 to 6 elementary schools. And this week, the board decided that, The board has not decided. The consultant presented to us that they would propose closing Meadowside and Calf Penn Elementary. And the word eventually is right, Melissa, eventually.
Yeah, so I want to first, you know, answer the immediate question that people had, Dr. Kutaye, which was why those two schools?
Right. So the consultant explained that they considered the conditions of the schools. All 8 are very old. They considered the population of students and where they lived and where they may be living within the course of the next few years, at least. And they considered the land that the schools are currently on. So, Melissa, a really important factor for the Board of Education is to eventually renovate and or build new with the least amount of disruption to kids. So when you look at building new or consolidating, the other part of the story is JFK and Live Oaks appear to have enough property where we could actually build new buildings while students are in school, because they would be building on a different part of the acreage. And Calf Penn and Meadow didn't have that situation, and their proposal is to have 3 schools on the west side of town and 3 schools on the east side of town.
Okay.
So there are a lot of things that went into that decision. The acreage, the population, the number of students at each school. In those two schools, the number is dipping way below 300, getting closer to 200. And then eventually we'll have to redistrict the entire district.
Okay. So there's a lot to process in there. And again, Dr. Anna Kutaye is here, and we're specifically talking about the elementary school part of this story, which, again, I want to reiterate for people. First of all, Dr. Kutaye, has it been 2 years? How long has the long-range process been going on for Milford?
The board of Ed started in 2023, so it's going, so it's about 2.5 years.
Okay.
And they started with a building utilization and enrollment projection. So how are our buildings used right now and to what capacity, and how many kids do we anticipate having over the next 10 years? That's where they started.
Okay. That's what I thought, or around that time frame. So, okay. Glad I'm not losing my mind. So, and I will say, I think that the public has really been involved, you know, every step of the way. I think the district has done, and this is coming from a district parent. I think that you guys have done a really good job of keeping us in the loop and telling us what's going on. And I don't think that these decisions are being made lightly. Just from my standpoint,
no.
It doesn't feel like, and I've talked to your Board of Ed members. Obviously, I talk to you very, very consistently. These are not easy decisions. But I want to, you know, what you just talked about before, which is, you know, you're talking about redistricting, you're talking about moving kids around, shuffling things around. This is going to take time. I want to stress this, the fact that, first of all, I know in the note it says this will not take effect and impact the upcoming school year. I don't know if I'm talking out of turn here, Dr. Kutaye, but I don't even think this is going to impact the next couple of school years, maybe even more. Is that fair in saying? Because you're also balancing the work that's going to have to go into the middle schools as well as the high schools. And I don't even know which schools you start with. Are we simultaneously doing schools? I don't know if you could plausibly do that.
Right. So really good question. And more will be revealed in April So we're, if you've been following, and we're building up to a full plan that will have what will be done with which schools and when. And I'm with you, Melissa. While the consultants are still working on the timeline, it takes a couple of 3 years to build a new building.
Right.
And if you're talking about renovating building that is currently being used, well, now you have to work around students and teachers teaching and learning. So now you're extending the timeline of a renovation because you have to work around school year. So now we're talking at least, if you're going to build a new building, 3 years. And that includes the proposal going before the town bodies and funding being approved. And then the state has to process it and approve your project so that you can qualify for reimbursement. So you could be adding another year there. So I think the fastest that we would see any type of moving of students could be 3 years.
Okay. And I think that is such an important part to add. Because again, when we see that this is not going to impact the upcoming school year. So for example, if you know, as I've told everyone, I have a second grader and his school is not one of the ones you're mentioning. However, as you just talked about, there's going to be shuffling of kids, redistricting, figuring that out. And he's got 3 years till he goes to middle school. And so, you know, there's already the questions of if you've got to finish out middle school or you're finishing out high school or you're finishing out, you know, elementary school, it's good to have kind of that time frame. So, you know, even the idea of this is you're really not going to see much, I'd say, change for students and families for at least 3 years. That's fair to say.
I think it is. And I think we heard loud and clear from the public that they understand something has to happen, but they just want it to be done in a thoughtful and time-sensitive way so that in May, at the time of a budget decision, we're not talking about moving kids in September, right? Mm-hmm. So just like the board has done, very transparently developing a plan, we'll also be very transparently talking about when we need to move children. And that timeline actually will be first, the draft of it will be first made public on April 13th. So imagine I'll be talking to you again around that time.
Yes, I'm sure you will be bothered by me multiple times. Even after all the decisions are made, Dr. Kutaye, for many reasons, I'm sure I'm going to bother you again. And I really appreciate you giving us the time. Dr. Anna Kutaye is here, superintendent of schools in Milford. And we're talking about the long range facilities plan, which we've been talking about and will continue to because this is going to be quite a long process. What is happening with Milford Public Schools? And it's a lot, to be honest, but it is going to take some time. I think that's the really important part here is that this is not something that is going to go into effect next year. It can't even go into effect 2 years from now. This is going to take time, and it has to, as you mentioned, Dr. Kutaye, kind of thoughtfully be done. Before I get to the classroom sizes, because that was probably the biggest thing I didn't get to touch on last week, so we'll discuss it in a moment. Redistricting. That is certainly a concern. We just got a call about that, is the redistricting and how is that going to work? But also, what is that going to mean then for, you know, for kids who are already districted to go to a certain middle school in the next few years or are districted to go to foreign or law? I mean, how does that sort of work for parents who have not gone through that experience yet?
Yeah, so we're obviously a long way from that. And so we need a lot of time to plan for that. So what we'll take a look at is where the schools are located. And there is some great technology that consultants use where they map where all the students are. And we could with certainty map where students are for the at least next 5 years because of birth rates. So we'll use that technology to map out where all the kids are. And then we'll take into consideration bus routes, walking routes, et cetera. And we'll look at the whole district. So my recommendation to the board would be is, and I think they're in the same place, that we only redistrict once, right? So we do not want to move kids 1 year because one building is done and then move another, and then 3 years later, move kids again. So we're going to do everything possible to avoid that.
Okay.
And then, again, in the middle of April, more will be known, but it just depends on where we start, Melissa, right? So will we start with elementary? Will we start with middle? Will we start with high school? And then fan out from there. So So there are some things that would make sense, right? So we need swing space. That's something we haven't talked about yet, Melissa, you and I, that if you're going to move kids or if you're going to, because of renovation, right? So on the table is possibly renovating elementary schools instead of building new, right? So yep. the board will have to weigh in on that. So we will need space to put kids eventually when we start moving, if let's say the scenario of the middle schools, right?
Yep.
So the consultant will give us information on where they feel like we should start, where the swing space would be, and when we would be ready to move kids. So we will do that very publicly with parents, try to do it all in one at the elementary level. So we're not moving lines a couple of times in the career of a child's life in elementary. That's very disruptive.
Okay.
And then we won't know until we know when the middle schools are going to be built or renovated, built, right? The new ones that the board has proposed, as to when we're going to then stop sending kids to Harborside. So that is in the future. We'll have to make that decision. And then we know that we have the two high schools. So actually going to three elementary on the west side and three on the east side makes sense. So you could start with a system that you have three elementary schools go to West Shore and all those students go to Law. It feeds 3-1-1 on the west side of town. And then on the east side of town, you have three elementary, one middle, one high. So it's actually a really clean transition for kids. Instead of some kids going to Harborside, some going to East Shore, West Shore, and then some kids go to Law, some kids go to Foreign, because the Harborside kids would get split.
Right. I know we're Harborside kids. So that's we definitely were like, wait, so are we still going to Law? where are we going? Okay. And I mean, and again, I know that we still are kind of in the weeds here because you can't obviously do all three, I'm going to call them sets of projects at one time. So do we have we don't have like a hierarchy though, right? Like we don't know if we're starting with elementary going up to higher, if we're going to start with the high school, we don't know what our starting point is yet, right?
No, April 16th, we'll know more.
Okay, so I'll wait for April 16th. And again, I always appreciate you, Dr. Kutaya. Thank you. Yep. I want to address the classroom sizes. That was probably the biggest feedback I got from our last conversation was I never got to that part. And that's probably the biggest concern for people. When you hear consolidation of 8-6 schools and consolidation of 3-2, how do the classroom sizes not get impacted?
Great. So we're going to do a little math. I know it's early. Okay.
That's a lot of math.
Let's say we have 100.
Yes. I'm ready. I'm good.
Let's say we have 100 students in first grade at Orange Ave. The class size guideline that the board confirms for us through our budget assumptions every year is 20 student class sizes of 20. So you're going to take 100 kids and divide by 20, and that gives you 5 sections of first grade.
Yep.
So that remains as a fact. So if after we build schools or renovate and we move the district lines, and now we have 140 kids in first grade, and by the way, I don't think it's going to be that big, you're going to take 140 and divide it by 20. So now we need 7 sections or 7 teachers instead of 5.
Okay, and so, that's where you would then determine the size of the school, too, because now you're talking about you need a first-grade wing that's going to have 7 classrooms, not 5.
Correct. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about the middle now.
Okay.
So the middle is a little different. We don't have hard and fast guidelines, but with the exception of science, because of what happens in science classes.
Sure.
We don't like science classes to be higher than 22 at the middle school. So that number remains, whether there are 100 seventh graders or 150 seventh graders. We also use a standard practice number. So, Melissa, I don't know if you remember, last spring we were reduced significantly in the budget.
Yes.
We didn't close schools, but class size went up because we reduced the number of teachers we had.
Mm-hmm.
We had a better right size at the middle. They were class sizes are kind of low, but we're always going to use sort of a number around 20 to 23 when we're talking about middle school. Actually, 23, 25 middle school, because there are 23 fifth graders at elementary level. So 23, 25 is always going to be our rule of thumb. And then that's about the same at the high school, but there's so many other factors at the high school, because if you want to offer like an AP stats class, you're not going to not run that class because only 10 kids are interested.
Sure.
You're still going to run AP courses. So high school is a whole different animal altogether. Yeah. So what
the high schools aren't consolidating. So I feel like that's, you know, we're upgrading them. So that's kind of out of the way, which is great. That's great news. But as far as middle and elementary is concerned, I mean, and that was something I thought I learned from you, at least from the elementary level, Dr. Kutaye, was don't you have, in some regard, some of these schools with much smaller class sizes because there are so many elementary schools? Is that the case at all or no?
Yeah, that is the case. And the number of sections in each building is very, very different. So Orange Avenue has around 4 teachers each grade. And then you'll go to another much smaller school and they have 2 teachers each grade.
Yeah, I've noticed
And the
that.
Class sizes can vary significantly. So you may walk into one of our smaller schools and there are like 12, 13 kids in a class. And then you go into a larger school and there'll be 20 kids in a class. So that'll even out the playing field, if you will. And I also think for teachers, it's a better scenario when you have more than 2 teachers at a section for collaboration and as a thought partner situation. So I, in my professional work, I have found the best sweet spot is to have 4 classes at each grade level. So this way you could also split kids up. You know, sometimes the mix of kids, they shouldn't be together. So you have more options to separate kids.
Yeah.
You have more teachers at the grade to do more teamwork together.
Well, and I've also noticed
it's better that way.
I agree. And the other thing I've noticed with that, Dr. Kutaye, is when a teacher is out and there's and right now we do have a shortage of substitutes, not just in Milford, across the state of Connecticut, is I've noticed for my son's school, they will split the class up on days that if the teacher is out and we don't have a sub, they will bring those kids into, because there's so many classes, they'll bring them into those classes for like the day. I've noticed that too. So I do feel like a bigger, you know, team of teachers per grade is not a bad thing. And again, to know kind of the math before the upgrades to these schools happen, I think is really important. I want to remind people to go to these meetings and have your voice heard. Make sure you know what's happening. I will link the Milford Public Schools website to ours, but also give you the dates of the upcoming meetings. The next one's going to be March 30th. That's an in-person meeting at Pumpkin Delight Elementary School, 7 p.m. And this is really going to focus on the elementary school part of this plan. But there's more happening as well in April. And we'll put those dates on our website, voiceofct.com. Dr. Kutaye, always appreciate you in giving us the time here on WICC. We will certainly talk again really soon.